Anya hit the ground, and the wind jumped out of her lungs. She continued tumbling down a steep slope until at last she came to rest at the bottom, in pitch darkness. Anya got to her feet slowly, unsure of herself at first. But the pain in her ankle had subsided, and she suspected it hadn't actually been sprained at all, just more of a strain. Her head felt a little bruised, but not nearly as bad as it had been the last time she'd rolled down a steep embankment. This time she was conscious, thus able to tuck her chin into her chest to protect the back of her skull.
Thank goodness. But where am I?
Anya looked around her, but could see very little in the darkness. The sword provided some dim illumination, but all she could see around her appeared to be the inside of the mountain.
Have I somehow gotten myself back into the mountain by another route? But if so, then how come Cormie didn't tell me about it? Maybe he didn't know. He did say something about Dunraj possibly knowing of a secret network of tunnels. Why does he need to get around undetected by his own men? Is he up to something other than ritual murder for his beloved Kali?
Anya wandered gingerly back to the slope and looked up. She'd fallen almost 30 feet down the steep incline. Had it not been for that sloped path, she would have simply dropped and died when she hit the ground.
How long will it be before the rest of Dunraj's men find their way into this secret passageway? I can't count on them not finding it. And that means I'll have to find my way out of here.
Anya held the sword aloft. She was in a smaller cavern than many of the others she'd been in throughout the fortress. Anya hobbled from end to end, and then finally saw the passageway that led out of the cavern. She was confused. The entire place was hard to find, and harder still to orient herself to.
Where does this passage lead? Nothing to do but get busy doing it.
Anya moved into the next passage, and the air grew darker still. But the sword managed to shed some light. She was worried that she might have wandered into a dead end. But as the passage closed in, she spotted another opening down at the bottom. Anya had to crawl through it. She dragged herself through the opening.
What?
And felt herself run right into a rock.
Dead end?
She pushed against it, but it was solid. There was no way she would have been led down this path without there being some passage elsewhere. It didn't seem natural. This had been hewn out of the rock. Anya felt all around the rocky cul-de-sac. On the third pass, she found the hidden trip switch. She pressed it, and the rock barring her path suddenly swung out of the way. Anya hauled herself through the opening, noting a sudden shift of air. The sword's glow revealed she could once again stand at full height. She marveled at the room, decorated exactly like an expensive condominium. Comfortable sofas and chairs furnished the room, and there were even windows that let in light.
Wait a minute. I'm in the mountain. How can windows be letting in light? They have to be fake. Now it makes sense. Dunraj asked his men to lay electricity cables to bring power to the mountain, but they had no idea why. Dunraj has himself a nice, comfortable home here. While the rest of his men live in much more austere conditions in their caves, Dunraj lives like a king. I wonder just how devoted to Kali he truly is. It must be tough maintaining his duplicitous appearance of religious fervor while living in luxury.
Anya studied one of the couches more closely in disdain. The cushions looked to have been handmade. She wondered exactly how Dunraj had managed to transport all of this stuff into the mountain without his men ever getting wise to it.
Then again, I've known religious zealots who are so blind they can barely see the tips of their noses.
Anya put her sword away. The fake daylight from the windows was enough to see by, and Anya walked the entire layout, memorizing it. It reminded her of the building where Dunraj had hosted his welcome party. She wondered if he had a condo that looked like this on another floor back in Hyderabad. Anya quickly hid behind one of the living room chairs, just in time.
I don't care what it takes. Make sure you find her.
Anya saw Dunraj's boots as he came into the condo and stalked across the living room floor. He collapsed into one of the sofas.
So he has cell phone service too? Interesting. I wonder what his men would think about their glorious leader using a cell phone to make calls. Come to think of it, I wonder what Kali would think of her most ardent supporter using such technology around sacred lands.
It's me. No, they haven't found her yet. Yes, I know. I've told them that. They know what must be done. And what about on your end? Have you dealt with him? Why not? The longer he stays alive, the more likely he is to find another way out. He needs to die. Well, just get it done. It's almost your turn, anyway.
Dunraj disconnected, and then got up from the sofa.
Another way out? Maybe it's the network of extra tunnels Cormie had hinted at. Maybe Dunraj has direct access to them from this condominium. And if so, can I use them to rescue Frank? I have to try.
Slowly, Anya rose from behind the chair and headed in the direction Dunraj had taken. A bedroom with a king-size bed loomed before her.
He's been in here, but where did he go?
All she saw was a bathroom off to one side and a giant walk-in closet on the other. Two chances. Anya chose the closet. She walked in through the expensive suits hanging on the racks.
Why would Dunraj need such finery for living inside a mountain?
Anya pressed deeper into the closet and then found herself facing a wall.
What are the odds this is a false door?
She ran her hands along the edge of the wood. Up near the top, where the piece met the ceiling, she found the splinter of wood and pressed it in. She pressed the door open. Anya walked back into the rough interior of the mountain. Up ahead of her, about 200 yards away, she saw Dunraj striding along a well-lit path. Anya ducked as soon as she came through the door. Fortunately, she had cover nearby. But Dunraj didn't even look back, intent as he was on getting somewhere. Anya gave him 10 more seconds, and then rose from her hiding spot.
If I can catch up with him, then I can force him to get Frank and bring him to me. And if he has a cell phone, I can use it to call Predation, his police, to come to the rescue. That'll work. By tomorrow morning, I could be back at the hotel enjoying a nice, long, hot bath. And then we can fly home. World's greatest monster mystery solved.
Anya hobbled faster down the path toward Dunraj. But he kept his pace brisk, and Anya found herself falling behind. The path was lit with overhead bulbs, and she wondered how much electricity this place must use.
And who is paying the bills? Dunraj obviously has extensive connections, but what exactly is he involved with here? He set himself up to live like a king, complete with an army of criminals, ready to kill in the name of a goddess they believe will protect them. But I doubt whether Kali ultimately will. Dunraj needs to be brought down.
Dunraj turned suddenly, and Anya froze, halfway expecting him to see her in the corridor. If he did, she'd have precious few moments to make her move. She was too far away from him to present much of a threat, aside from shouting an insult at him. But Dunraj paid her no attention, and then he was gone.
Where did he disappear to?
Anya rushed ahead, fighting off her aches.
I need to know.
But when she got to where Dunraj had turned, there was nothing there. Anya followed that part of the corridor around and found that it looped back on itself.
This place has more hiding spots than any I've ever seen.
Anya studied each section of the wall, and on the third go-around, she found another secret entrance. Anya stepped through into a different area of the mountain altogether, and when she came around the corner, the sight that greeted her was the last she would have expected. A full-fledged dig was apparently happening right inside the mountain, far below where she huddled.
But what are they digging for?
Anya crouched behind a rock and studied the scene. There were at least 10 workers engaged in hauling dirt and rock away from a central focal point. And Anya saw that there was a statue still partially covered by rock. The statue looked familiar. Kali.
Is Dunraj digging for treasure in the mountain itself? If so, then how does the cult of Thuggee figure into things? Are these men criminals who sacrifice to cover up the fact that they're treasure hunters?
Anya turned back to the statue. One of the arms appeared to be solid gold. And this incarnation of Kali had 10 arms. It stood at least 50 feet high and 20 feet wide. Its sheer size and weight would mean that the gold alone would be worth millions. Jewel-encrusted headpieces adorned this statue as well. Anya slumped back behind the rock. Dunraj was excavating artifacts from the mountain, from the very sacred land he pretended to protect with his gang of thugs.
Do the rest of his men know what he's up to? And if not, then how can Dunraj keep all of this concealed from them?
Anya rose and watched the work for another 5 minutes. The workers were taking the dirt and stone out of the chamber that lay below. Anya had to find out where they were taking it. She snaked her way down a walkway that led closer to where the workers were digging out the statue. The workers themselves looked as though they were average diggers at any other site. They didn't look like the thuggy men that Anya had run into elsewhere in the mountain.
How is it that the two sides don't know of each other's presence? Surely they'd pass in the tunnels, wouldn't they?
Anya saw a conveyor belt carrying lots of boulders and dirt away from the dig site. It vanished around a corner.
I need to follow that.
Anya waited for a worker to walk past her position and then snuck farther along the passageway. The conveyor belt trundled next to her, and she could see the rocks bouncing on the rubber belt. Then, around the next corner, it vanished into some type of feeder machine. Anya saw an even more spectacular operation happening here. Spray hoses wet the rocks entering the feed machine, and she could see pneumatic pumps jostling trays and separating the boulders and dirt from each other.
But what are they looking for here?
Anya walked down and then saw a front loader busy loading a dump truck. She stopped.
There are trucks in the mountain? How is that even possible? I didn't think there was a way in or out of the mountain for anything even remotely as large as these trucks.
Anya drew closer and glanced back at the feeder machine and then at the various hoses that led out of it.
Minerals? No. Gold.
Dunraj was mining the mountain from the inside out, and he was taking whatever he could get. It had obviously once been a refuge for the thuggy and their various treasures. Dunraj would take those as well. But his real goal was to strip the mountain.
And why not? Doing it this way, he doesn't have to apply for permits or licenses, or even let the government know what he's up to. He can clean the mountain out and leave the shell behind and no one will know. So why employ the thuggy? To scare the residents away? Or perhaps the residents themselves heard noises they couldn't explain. Maybe they were complaining and threatening to expose Dunraj's operation. Something needed to be done, and the murders were it. So Dunraj goes and gets himself a band of religious zealots and starts up the blood worship of Kali again. The residents are terrified and can't even think about asking questions about strange mechanical noises when it's not even safe to walk around outside at night. It's certainly not the most ingenious plan I've ever heard of, but Dunraj seems to know what he's doing. But eating hearts? How has he managed to bring himself to that? And convince others to join him? And how is he getting all this material excavated and out of the mountain?
Anya turned to see a big dump truck bearing down on her. She felt the first waves of panic.
Have I been seen? Is he coming to run me over?
Anya eased herself closer to the next outcropping of rock and waited. Apparently, she was safe. She hadn't been seen. The dump truck passed close. Anya grabbed the metal handle and swung herself up onto the back of the truck. She ducked down and kept herself as hidden as possible as the dump truck rumbled through the caverns. The air quality was good, too. Dust seemed almost non-existent for some reason. But then Anya saw air blowers and extractor fans. Dunraj was looking out for his people.
Yeah, right. I doubt that's why he's had them installed. But the less complaints he receives from his crew, the better they'll be able to work.
The truck continued on, and then Anya saw something ahead of her that made her blink. An actual paved road sprawled ahead of the truck.
He's got a highway down here?
And sure enough, the dump truck trundled onto the highway entrance and then started heading for an elaborate concrete tunnel. Signs in Hindi pointed out certain routes, and the truck appeared to be speeding up. This was her chance. Anya could ride the truck and see where it went, or she could stay behind and try to free Frank. She looked ahead as she felt the dump truck's engine kick up a gear. There was no telling how far the truck would have to drive to dump its load. It might have to go all the way back to Hyderabad for all she knew.
And if that happens, how will I find my way back to Frank?
Anya made her decision. She jumped off, tucking and rolling as the truck entered the tunnel. Then she got up and ran for the closest cover she could find, an electrical transformer that controlled the juice for this section of the excavation. Anya huddled there and tried to get her bearings. There were workers everywhere, and some of them seemed to be on break. She needed to find her way back to the cave where the thuggy were. If she could lead them down here and prove that Dhanraj was double-dealing with them, then they'd turn against him. She hoped.
And what time is it now? It has to be well after sunset. But the work continues down here. Clearly Dhanraj is on some sort of schedule. He has shifts going 24 hours a day.
That was good for him, but problematic for Anya. She needed a plan before she was discovered. She spotted a portable bathroom facility and one guy heading for it. She made her decision quickly and rose from her hiding place, striding across the ground. As long as she walked with purpose, most people wouldn't stop her or question her right to be there. Ahead of her, the man entered the portable bathroom. Anya quickly grasped the door handle and opened it. She clocked the man from behind. She caught him as he fell. Anya dragged him out and behind the bathroom. Then she stripped off his work clothes and helmet and put them on. She stowed him back in the bathroom, and when she closed the door, she broke the handle so it wouldn't open. It wouldn't buy her much time, but she hoped she could at least get back to the dig site without any interference. As she walked, she passed other workers. She kept her head down and sped up, pretending she was late for some sort of appointment elsewhere on the site. She made it back to the feed machine area and caught her breath. That's when she saw people running toward the bathroom. She turned and started to head back toward the dig site. She nearly bumped into someone. Anya's helmet came off and rolled away. She scrambled for it, grabbed it, and stood to replace it on her head, and came face to face with Dhanraj.
You turn up in the most unexpected places.
He'd gone straight for the knockout spot. When Anya came to, her ears told her that she was still down by the excavation site. She blinked a couple of times, and the light made her shut her eyes again.
Ouch! Ah.
Yes, that was a nasty little shot I gave you there, eh? Did you know I was the intercollegiate lightweight boxing champion at Oxford?
Anya went to rub her jaw, but found she couldn't move her hands. She turned and saw her arms stretched out to either side, chained in place all the way down past her wrists, palms facing down. She was strapped to the conveyor belt that she'd followed down to the dump truck area. Anya craned her neck. The feeder machine was stopped. She knew why.
I think it's time we had ourselves a talk, don't you?
Let me go. I don't give a damn that you're raping the mountain. Just let me go.
Raping the mountain? You know, I quite like that. I may use that if you don't mind.
Sure, knock yourself out. Is this all for me?
I'm quite taken with you, Anya. Truly. I didn't give you enough credit. And yet, here you are. You've managed to escape and kill an awful lot of my men. And then you somehow found your way down here. And I am at quite a loss as to how to understand or explain it.
Oh, that's a shame.
I don't suppose you'd be willing to let me in on all of your little secrets, would you?
Just as soon as you let me off this conveyor belt.
Yes, well, there's that, isn't there? The problem is, of course, that you seem to have discovered quite a lot about me. And frankly, it's information I prefer to keep secret.
The highway back to Hyderabad. You're going to create a new roadway through the mountain. That will let you open up new areas for development, and if anyone wants to use your new road, they'll probably have to pay you a grand sum.
You are a marvel. Marry me.
You're such a romantic, tying me up like this when you propose. It's so...
21st century power couple?
Yeah, I was thinking loony bin fodder.
But I could never really be sure you were trustworthy, could I? No, I suppose not. Oh, well.
Wow, that was a quick relationship. I'd better change my status on Facebook before someone else beats me to it.
And while you're there, you might consider posting a last will and testament, because I'm afraid that very shortly you'll be bound for the afterlife.
And here I thought that you'd want to carve me up like you did that guy earlier. You know, have another one of your heart feasts.
I considered dragging you back to the other cave, but you have this penchant for escaping. And it wouldn't do to have you blathering on about this dig site. Some of the men over there might grow suspicious of me and what I'm up to. I can't have that.
So you'll kill me here?
Yes.
Anya jerked at the chains, holding her arms in place, but they were solid steel.
I don't think you'll find them all that easy to escape. They're layered steel.
And what, you're gonna send me into your little machine there?
You know what it's for?
I have an idea. It makes big rocks into small rocks.
It helps us extract the minerals. Sometimes we find gold, sometimes other more valuable things. But we now have it set up especially for you.
You're really going to too much trouble on my account. You could have just shot me.
Oh, I'd rather fancy myself more creative than that.
Tell me something.
Perhaps.
What's the deal with the thuggy thing?
What do you mean?
I mean, you've got them here for some reason. I don't buy for one second that you're a devotee of Kali, even if you're eating hearts raw. You're down here desecrating her sacred lands, for crying out loud.
And what would you know of worship and all it entails?
I know enough to recognize a fraud when I see one. Whatever your men believe about you, it isn't the truth.
My men believe exactly what I want them to believe. That I am a high priest of Kali and a Thuggee leader. And everything was working perfectly well until you and your cameraman came stumbling into town.
So your men are simply here to help perpetrate a ruse, right? To scare the residents and, what, get them to sell their homes so you can turn around and develop this part of the area too?
Maybe.
Nice.
I don't really care what you think about my plans here, Anya. And a big part of me is attracted to the idea of you dying without ever knowing the answers.
I'll come back from the dead and haunt your ass.
Really?
Oh, you'd better believe I will. You kill me now, start counting down the minutes until I come back for you and drag you down to hell with me.
I enjoy our repartee. It's a refreshing change from my usual boring conversations of the day.
Unstrap me and we can talk for hours.
Not a chance, my dear.
Worth a shot. One more thing, if you don't mind.
What do you want now?
Frank.
What about him?
Let him go. He's had nothing to do with any of this. It's my fault he got caught up in it all.
I admire your loyalty, but unfortunately, he's seen and heard far too much.
I want you to know something.
What's that?
I'm going to enjoy seeing the police lock you up very, very much.
Oh, bold words, considering you're about to be made into tiny little Anya Creedlets. Right about now.
I thought we were just getting warmed up.
Tragically, no, my darling. I'm afraid I must bid you adieu.
Anya felt the conveyor belt lurch underneath her, and then she was moving along at a slow pace toward the feeder machine about 200 feet away.
You couldn't have put me closer? What's the deal? You milking the moment?
It gives you time to think about the inevitable. And then when the first waves of pain wash over you and you're rendered into pulverized flesh, your last thought will be that I remain alive.
I meant what I said, Dunraj.
About what?
About me coming back to haunt you. I'm not joking.
You've been impressive, Anya. No one can dispute that. But even you won't be able to escape this.
You'd better hope not.
Farewell, Anya Creed. Godspeed and all that jazz.
The conveyor belt churned beneath her, carrying Anya Creed toward an extremely painful death. She struggled against the chains, but it was no use. With each passing second, the conveyor belt carried her closer to her fate. Anya tried to manifest the sword, but without mobility in her hands, she found herself unable to do it. She could not get the sword to materialize. She felt each bump underneath her back as the belt rattled along. The grinding gears thundered into one another like a giant wood chipper. She kicked out with her legs, trying to free them as well, but the chains that held her arms also pinned her feet. She was helpless.
Is this it? Is this how it ends at last? I've carried that sword as a weapon for good and justice for years now, and when I finally need it the most, it lets me down. Is this God's plan?
The belt moved her closer to the machine, toward her death. Another few seconds, and she'd feel those first waves of agony before she blacked out. And then, the machine switched off, freezing the separator trays in mid-motion, splayed apart as if in mid-chew. Anya looked around in amazement.
Hi, Anya.
Frank?
That's my name, don't wear it out.
Your timing couldn't be better. I'd ask how you got free, but there's no time. Hurry up and get me out of here before Dunraj comes back.
Together, they got the chains off, and Anya hopped off the conveyor belt.
Whoa.
She wobbled a bit and then righted herself. Frank held her up.
Looks like you've been busy. What the hell is all this stuff?
Never mind. We've got to get you out of here.
Where am I going?
Hyderabad. You're going to find Pradesh and tell him about this place. Have him get the police or military or whatever and come out here to shut down Dunraj.
And what about you?
Me? I'm going after Dunraj.
Alone? Don't be foolish. He's got a ton of guys and they'll kill you.
You're going to have to trust me on this, Frank. And believe me when I tell you that Dunraj doesn't stand a chance against me.
You say that so confidently.
I am confident.
I don't like it.
You don't have to like it. Do what I say and find your way to Hyderabad. There are trucks leaving all the time hauling dirt away. There's got to be an exit out of the underground tunnel. Make note of it and tell Pradesh to use it for getting his teams in here.
All right, but how do I get out of here?
You see that truck over there?
Yeah.
You're hitching a ride on it. Climb into the back when it's done loading and then ride it out. Once you get out of the tunnel, continue to the dump site or jump off and get help from the locals somewhere.
This is getting very complicated.
Trust me, you'll be safer this way. I couldn't bear having your death on my conscience. Go now and call Pradesh. He'll know what to do.
But what am I supposed to tell him?
Tell him Dunraj is dirty, that he's digging the mountain out and that the murders are all his doing. Pradesh will be able to act on that and come back here with the support we need, okay?
Yeah, okay. Take care of yourself, Anya.
Frank ran for the dump truck. Anya watched him hop up and climb into the back, huddling next to a big pile of dirt. Frank waved once before getting his head back down. Anya gave him a thumbs up and then turned back around. Time to find Dunraj. But the man standing in front of her didn't look as if he was going to let that happen. He stood about 6 feet 2 inches, and he held a long steel pipe, roughly 3 feet long, in his right hand, and started smacking it roughly on the open palm of his left hand. He then smiled. The meaning was pretty clear.
He's gonna try to kill me. Unfortunately for him, I'm not bound.
Instantly, the sword was in her hands. Its strength flowed into her arms and throughout her body. Anya regarded the man, whose shock registered on his face.
Let's make this quick, sweetie. I've got a boss to kill.
His first attack was a straight thrust aimed at Anya's chest. He pivoted and cut in at his hands, but his backhand caught her in the side. She wheeled away. Anya only just managed to block the next ferocious swing at her head. She dropped to one knee and drove in, forcing him to defend against her attacking blade. Then he flipped the pipe down onto the flat of Anya's blade, disarming her. The sword clattered away.
Now! Kill her now!
Anya looked up and saw Dunraj watching the action from a higher vantage point. She smiled.
I'll be right there!
Anya reached out and took the sword back into her hands. The man with the pipe sensed an opportunity. He came in hard, swinging at her repeatedly. She backpedaled against each successive cut and launched her own counterattacks. No matter how much Anya cut at him, Pipe Man was able to deflect and ward off each slice she aimed his way. Anya jumped out of reach of his next attack and paused to breathe. Both of them were winded. Pipe Man recovered more quickly than she did. He drove straight down as if he were chopping wood. Anya backed away, but he kept advancing. Anya then ducked just in time to avoid the next swing of the pipe. She cut back and felt the blade just barely score a line across the man's chest.
Gotcha.
Pipe Man watched her guardedly now, aware that the blade could indeed reach him. Anya felt a new wave of strength flood her limbs. She drove him back, ever closer to the feeder machine that Frank had stalled. The Pipe Man stumbled. Anya cut down on his wrist, severing his hand. He fell back. Anya raised her sword to finish him off. And then Anya felt a gunshot lance her side. She stumbled forward against the feeder machine. Suddenly, the conveyor belt started up again. Pipe Man scrambled to jump off the conveyor belt, but the cuff of his work pants was caught up in the separator trays and grinding gears. Anya turned away. Anya huddled next to the machine and risked peering out from the corner. Another shot hit the leg of the machine. Anya ducked back, As long as Dunraj held the higher ground, he'd be able to keep shooting at her, and eventually he might even get lucky. She felt her side and knew the bullet had merely grazed her, but she was bleeding. Another shot rang out, hitting a nearby rock. The rest of the workmen had stopped and were running from the action. Anya moved around to the other side of the machine and saw that Dunraj had abandoned his vantage point. She took the opportunity to move up. Running as fast as the wound in her side would allow, Anya broke for the upper level. She passed the statue of Kali and paused. The place was completely deserted. She turned. Dunraj stood there, a smile plastered on his smug face.
This is the last time you'll be a problem for me, my dear.
Anya, bringing her sword up, jumped out of the line of the bullet. It smacked into the flat of her sword blade and bounced harmlessly away. Dunraj saw her cutting down the distance and knew he wouldn't be able to reacquire the target, so he tossed the gun and drew a knife. They met in a furious clash of steel blades.
Where did you ever get that sword?
A friend of mine lent it to me.
Here? Who?
Remember how I told you I was going to come back and haunt you?
Dunraj redoubled his attack and drove Anya back toward the statue of Kali.
Let's see how well you'll fare dealing with this.
He launched a series of quick, shallow swipes with his dagger, and Anya had to flip her sword this way and that, and rely on her ability to pivot within the killing zone to deflect and otherwise avoid his attacks. Finally, Anya closed with Dunraj and shoved him back with every ounce of strength she had left. He flew away from her, but as he did so, his knife raked down her forearm. Anya clamped her hand over the wound, trying to stem the flow of blood, but it was coming fast, and she was already feeling woozy. Dunraj charged her again, kept driving her back toward the statue of Kali, and Anya backpedaled as much as she could, but in the end, she ran out of room. Dunraj grinned and then sprang at her. Anya moved to the side, and Dunraj's body flew past her into the hole that they'd been digging the statue of Kali out of. Anya crouched at the edge of the hole and tried to use the sword's light to penetrate the darkness. But she was unable to see where Dunraj might have landed. One thing she knew for sure, he couldn't have survived. She felt nauseous and stumbled to her feet, wandering the work area in search of a bandage. She finally located their first aid kit, sat on a crate, and dressed her wound. She was going to need stitches, that much was certain. When she stood, blackness rushed at her. Anya came to on a cot, wrapped in blankets. Anya tried to sit up, but a hand held her in place.
Take it easy, Anya. Just rest.
She opened her eyes. Pradesh stood next to her, and Frank sat at the foot of her bed.
Hey, Frank, you made it.
Indeed he did. Although I should be terribly upset with you, Anya.
I don't blame you one bit if you are. I'm really sorry we didn't wait for you.
Forget it. The most important thing now is that we were able to reach you and get you medical attention. You had a terrible wound on your arm.
Dunraj, his knife...
was poisoned.
Are you serious?
Very. If we hadn't arrived when we did, there's every possibility you would have died from the injury.
I feel horrible.
That's to be expected. But I'm told you'll make a full recovery after the antibiotics kick in.
Where am I?
In the medical facility in the mountain. The workers had an infirmary, so we thought it'd be best to bring you here.
God, I'm still in this stupid mountain?
Only for a short time more, I promise you. Once the doctor gives you the okay, we'll get you out of here. Your cameraman does some excellent work, you know.
Yeah?
He was able to follow the trucks to their dumping point and the exit of the secret highway. It's rather remarkable that such a thing even exists. Had I not seen it with my own eyes, I might not believe that it was real.
But it is.
I've sent word to have the mayor come out and see it. It will cause quite a stir in the Hyderabad community.
Just so long as people know what's been happening here.
You're a terrifically brave woman, Anya Creed. I would never have dreamed you had this much gumption.
That's me. Gumption aplenty.
Apparently so. I'll leave you two alone for a few minutes, all right?
Pradesh?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just doing my duty.
Seriously, how are you feeling?
My head aches, my body aches, my sinuses are shot to hell. It feels like someone gave me the swine flu combined with Ebola.
Well, fortunately, that's not what's happened. Otherwise, you'd probably be bleeding from your eyeballs.
Don't count that out just yet. I might still surprise you.
I'm just glad you're okay.
What about the rest of the thuggee? Did Pradesh round them all up?
Anya?
What is it?
It doesn't look like the thuggee ever existed.
What are you talking about? You saw them just as much as I did.
I know. And I told Pradesh that. But he got access to the tunnels, and his men did a thorough search. There's no one hiding there. No one at all. Worse, they said the place looks like it was deserted many years ago.
So, what? They think we hallucinated everything?
I don't know yet.
And what about Dhanraj?
What about him?
Frank, if he's alive, which I doubt, they're gonna arrest him, right? This can't be legal, what he's doing here.
It looks like he and Pradesh made some sort of deal. Maybe he's going to plead. I don't know. I don't know how the justice system works here.
But they were able to pull him out of the hole, right?
What hole?
The hole he fell into when we were fighting.
Anya, Dhanraj was back in Hyderabad when Pradesh went to his office. I don't know what you're talking about.
Didn't you see Dhanraj before you escaped on the truck?
No.
Oh, what the hell is going on here?
Just get some rest, and we'll talk again when the poison's out of your system.
Anya could only nod and then close her eyes while Frank left the tent.
What is going on here? I sent Dhanraj flying into a hole. He's either dead or seriously wounded, and yet Frank says that Dhanraj has been at his office in Hyderabad. How can Dhanraj be in two places at once? I thought I'd figured it out with the secret highway, but this is a new mystery.
Her mind trailed off into sleep.
What?
How is she?
Better, but she'll need time to make a full recovery.
I feel so responsible for this.
You can answer to the judge and explain yourself, Mr. Dhanraj. All I do is enforce the law.
Yes, of course.
Pradesh?
I'm here, Anya.
Who is that with you?
Mr. Dhanraj is here.
Hello again, Anya.
Anya sat up and swung at him, but there was no one in the tent. She'd been dreaming. Anya slumped back down onto the bed.
Damn poison. I just want to go home. The police can sort this all out. Sleep. That's what I need.
But then the tent flap opened, and Pradesh entered with a smile on his face. There was someone else behind him, and this time, Dhanraj really was standing there.
You!
Hello, Anya.
You!
Anya came up out of her bed, exactly as she had in her dream, but this time Pradesh was there to hold her back.
Wait, Anya, calm down. You've got him all wrong.
I suppose it's only natural to expect a reaction like that, considering what she's been through.
She'll be all right. It's just going to take some time.
Perhaps I should wait outside then. You know, until she's ready to discuss things.
That might be a good idea. You've got to calm down. Things aren't what they seem. Let me explain.
How come you haven't arrested that man? He's a murderer.
I know it seems that way.
Seems that way? I personally witnessed him cut a man's heart out of his chest and eat the damned thing.
Anya, that wasn't Dhanraj you saw.
Yes, it was. I'd know that face anywhere.
Anya, listen to me. Dhanraj was in Hyderabad the entire time. He has an alibi and it checks out perfectly.
Then who killed that man I saw?
His brother.
Are you certain that he's got one?
100% positive. In fact, you fought him, and when he fell into that hole by the statue, he died.
I don't believe this.
I hear things have quieted down now. Would you mind if I came back in?
Explain all this to me if you would.
First, let me just say that I am terribly sorry for all you've been through. Had I known that you were looking into this end of things, I certainly would have taken steps to safeguard your investigation.
You'd better back up and start from the beginning.
Of course. You see, I have a twin. I suppose that is the best way to begin.
Your brother was a twin?
Indeed. We determined early on that he had grave psychological problems. Sociopathic tendencies. It was heartbreaking for my family.
All right.
When it became clear that there was very little we could do to keep him contained, so to speak, my family had a serious decision to make. where to put him so he could never harm the family or the general public.
So you put him in a mountain? That sounds almost as insane as your brother acted.
Believe me, I understand how this must look, and I feel I'm very much to blame. Even so, you must look at it from my perspective. He was my brother, after all.
I'm at a bit of a loss to understand how you thought stowing him here was a good idea.
He killed the rest of our family, Anya.
You mean figuratively?
I was away at Oxford when I got word that he had butchered my entire family.
So why isn't he in jail?
I prevailed upon the courts to let me do things my way. Yes, I used bribery to get my way. I know it was wrong, but as I said, I felt I owed it to my brother to at least try to give him some semblance of a decent life.
You're telling me you made a home for him in this mountain, right?
Yes.
And he lived here?
He did.
You're listening, right, Pradesh? How could this possibly have gone on for so long?
Let him finish talking.
Okay, so you made a home for him here?
I needed a way to get supplies to him, so I had a special underground road constructed that I could use to bring him things. Given my position in society, it was important no one ever find out about him. As far as the public knew, there was only one of us, me. And if he'd behaved himself, then it would have stayed that way for many years to come.
But he found a way out of the mountain.
When I relocated him here, there were old tunnel systems in place. That's why I chose this place.
It didn't strike you as cruel to put him inside a mountain?
He was headed to jail, or worse. I thought I was giving him a better than average shot at doing something with his life.
But he didn't, did he? He started killing people.
I had no way of knowing that it was him. Every time I came out here to see him, things seemed perfectly reasonable.
How can you say that? He had a band of thugs with him. They resurrected an old cult and they were engaged in systematic terror campaigns to scare the residents away.
Once I figured out that he had the means to escape the mountain and was sending his emissaries out, I tried to stop him.
And how did you do that?
I started excavating the mountain. I tried to get his mind focused on doing other things while he was here. I gave him a position of power in overseeing the work crews.
Did it work?
When the crews uncovered that statue of Kali, the one you saw, something snapped in my brother. Kali became his overriding obsession. He felt her presence in this mountain was some sort of divine calling to him.
And then the killings picked up.
Yes.
And that's when Frank and I stumbled on the scene.
Your timing could not have possibly been worse. My brother was at his most bizarre by then, as I think you witnessed.
Eating hearts and stuff?
Yes.
Did that really happen?
I'll bet if you look hard enough, you'll find the body somewhere in the mountain.
Or not. My brother had a means of disposing of the corpses, although I'm not entirely sure what it was.
He's really dead, though, right?
My brother? Yes. I've seen his corpse for myself. He is most definitely dead.
As have I. You've got nothing to fear from him anymore.
Good. I'm sorry about your brother, but he was a very sick man. Your keeping him out of prison resulted in the deaths of innocent people.
You think I don't realize that?
I don't know, do you?
Of course. And I will go out of my way to make amends to those families affected by my poor decision.
Look, Anya, Dhanraj didn't commit any crime.
You can't be held responsible for abetting a criminal in India?
Family responsibility is something we hold very dear.
It could certainly be argued that I was complicit in the crimes. My goal right now is to make everything better, to try to repair some of the damage that I've done through my poor decisions.
What we're after here is a truce between you and Dhanraj. He's agreed to cooperate with us in the investigation.
In exchange for immunity.
I have a great many projects underway that will benefit the city and the underprivileged. If I'm prosecuted, those good things will never be fully realized. I would hate to see that.
I don't know.
This is a lot to take in all at once. Just do me a favor and give it some thought, would you?
Think of the poor people who would suffer. Just one of my construction projects would greatly benefit the families living in this immediate area. That road outside, the secret highway, it will open access to Hyderabad to people who thus far could only rely on rickety old buses to ferry them into the city. This will mean better jobs, better pay, and a better standard of living.
I'll give it some thought.
Great. That's great.
Is Frank around?
Yes, he is. Would you like me to send him in?
That would be great.
Thank you for listening to me. I do appreciate it.
Yeah. Sorry about your brother.
Thank you.
Together, Dhanraj and Pradesh walked outside. 2 minutes later, Frank's face appeared.
Hey!
Get in here, would you?
Pretty wild about that guy having a twin brother, huh?
Convenient. Did you see the body?
Yeah, spitting image of each other. No wonder we were so easily fooled. They really did look exactly alike. It was pretty freaky staring down at him and then back up at Dhanraj. What is it?
I don't know. The whole situation stinks. Dhanraj is going to get a free pass because it wasn't him that committed the crimes, it was his brother.
Well, he shouldn't pay for something someone else did, Anya.
Have you ever heard of aiding and abetting? Something still smells funny to me.
Could be you. You're pretty grungy.
Listen up, Frank. Here's what I want you to do.
It took another few hours before Anya started feeling better. The IV drip in her arm continued to administer the antibiotics to combat the poison from the knife blade, and she slept a lot. By the time evening rolled around, Anya felt as though she was through the worst of it. Frank had gone back to Hyderabad. Anya still wasn't convinced that the danger was past at the dig site. And despite Frank's protests that he wanted to stay to help her, Anya had warned him that he should do as she said. Now, after her rest, she had to admit that she was indeed feeling much better. Her focus now was on getting out of the mountain and back to Hyderabad. She could convalesce at a hospital there, and then she could go home.
At least I've solved the mystery of the deaths here.
Oh, you're awake. Excellent.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. You're looking a lot better as well. How are you feeling?
Better.
Good. I see the antibiotics are working. I was worried about the poison's lasting effects.
I think I'll be fine.
I'll let the doctor know. Once we get it okay, we can get you out of here.
That would be very nice.
Be right back.
Pradesh vanished, and then came back a moment later with the doctor, who did a quick checkup of Anya and spoke in rapid-fire Hindi to Pradesh. Pradesh nodded quite a bit and said a few words to the doctor. Then the doctor left and Pradesh smiled.
You're all set.
I am?
Yes. We're going to arrange a transport back to the city for you. Frank's already headed back, eh?
I sent him ahead to the hotel.
He didn't seem happy about having to leave. He's quite loyal to you, you know. When he called me, all he could do was go on and on about needing to rescue you. It was rather heroic.
He'll turn out just fine, I think.
A friend like that. You should consider yourself very lucky.
In more ways than one. How am I being transported back to Hyderabad?
We have an ambulance, if that suits you.
Sure. Do you know when?
Shortly, I would think. I just need to check with the driver.
Anya closed her eyes. She was still tired, but she spent a lot of her time focused on the sword where it rested in the otherwhere. And each time she did, she felt more of its strength flowing into her body and limbs.
Thank God I was able to get the sword back.
Anya smiled to herself. Everything was going as it should. The guilty man was dead, and she was finally getting the hell out of this mountain.